How do I say this very cautiously? I believe we're in an apostolic age. Donald Trump is an apostle, is what it looks like. He may be a practical apostle, but he looks like an apostle. I don't care what you say. This is where I'm going. And bang, he's going for it with all he got. And he doesn't really let what people think bother him. He's going there. And it seems like people are waking up across the nation and saying, and it could be good and it can be bad. I want to be who God called me to be. Let's go. Let's do this. And it feels like something has unleashed. And again, that could be good and it can be bad. So the difference, let's look at what the difference is between the office of a prophet and a prophetic anointing. So I just told you a little bit ago about the office of a prophet and a teacher, as one who speaks the word of God and all of those things. Now, a prophetic anointing, Paul says, is for everyone. He said, I would that you all prophesy. And so this evangelist that I tell you that the healing center, I told you about it, that lives at the healing center, he is very prophetic. And when I met him, I was like, he's a prophet. That was just, yeah, he's a prophet. And lo and behold, they're saying, no, he's an evangelist. And he is. I definitely see it. But does he have the gift of prophecy or what? I mean, every day, he's just like, says stuff. This is what's happening. I see it clear. This is what's happening. This is da-da-da-da. And it happens. I just, all the time, I'm continually amazed. Wow, how do you do that? Boy, he has a prophetic anointing. It is strong. And so God says, I would that you all prophesy. And so there are pastors who can have an incredibly strong prophetic anointing, and they come to the church. And if all you recognize is a prophetic anointing, you'll think he's a prophet. He's not. He has that prophetic anointing, though. And a prophet himself may not have that strong of a prophetic anointing where he gets up here like Lance and starts speaking things into people's lives. You are this or you are that. A prophet may not have that strong of an anointing, but he may have a greater anointing to speak what God is showing the church at that time, whatever it is. So prophetic anointing is for everyone. The office of a prophet is a position. It's not an anointing, although that anointing hopefully will come with it. It should come with it. Let's see. Okay, so let's go to false prophets. A false prophet, as I see it, is someone who intentionally speaks. I was going to look this verse up, and I forgot. In Isaiah, it talks about false prophets. These people who know where the group is at. They know people are living in sin, and they, even though they know they're living in sin, they say, well, God loves you, and God is saying you're to whatever, be this awesome person, and he's overlooking this, that, and the other thing, and they bypass the truth and to speak nice things, knowing that they're doing it. That is a false prophet. There's no question about it. He is going beyond what God is saying and speaking over. He's overlooking the sin to speak good things. So, here's the catch, though. There are a lot of people who, where is that at? Prophecy is. Prophecy is literally, I don't know where that verse is at that I have, to exhort, it's 1 Corinthians 14:3. Prophecy is to edify, to exhort, to comfort. Edify, exhort, to comfort. So there's a lot of people who go around and they edify, they exhort, they comfort. That's prophecy. That's what the Bible says is prophecy. How interesting is that? So, but a lot of people who are prophetic, they begin to speak out of their experience. And so they will declare something. They will hear the word from God. Largely, a prophetic person has to interpret the word of God. That's what he has to do. And so we're all hearing, but he has to take what he's hearing and deliver it. And so he can tend to deliver it based on his experience or based on his belief system. And so so last week, this word was given. There's a couple that's here who does not fit in, and that they're to leave in 2 years. Within 2 years, they're supposed to leave. And I was sitting back there saying, I don't connect with that word. And then I began to, as we began to talk more, I began to realize that the people this man has been with do not have character. And when confrontation comes against sin or differences, people leave. They split. There's brokenness. They don't have that character to walk it out. And so out of that experience, he's, from my perception, what I was hearing, he was saying, there's sin in the camp. This couple here, they know they don't fit. They're going to leave. And I'm saying, there's sin in the camp. This couple don't fit. There's going to be reconciliation. I'm not going to agree with leaving. I just don't buy that. It did not connect with me at all. That's not the way that's not the way we experienced it at this church. That's not the way we believe it. We can there can be reconciliation. And so, people can speak out of their feelings. They can speak out of their emotions. Lance came here and he told me, don't tell me a thing about the church group. Don't tell me anything about the people. He said, I don't want knowledge about them to influence what I say. A prophetic word can be, if you know something about somebody and you understand what's going on, you speak into their life, that can be a prophetic word. But if you know about the person and you know what's going on and you speak out of that and then you twist it from your experience and your belief, it's a twisted prophetic word. And so it's easier for someone who's prophesying to get up, if you don't know a thing about you, a thing about the group, to speak into a person's life and just begin to say whatever comes, because he doesn't know. It's not tainted by who that person, by what he knows about that person. So, okay, I wanted to speak about that. I have some of this stuff a little mixed up. So when Lance came, I was telling people, he seems to be really accurate. From his words seemed to be really accurate. And someone said, well, how do you know it's accurate? How do you know what accurate is? And what I meant by that, and what we need to gauge a word by, when someone delivers a word, one of the things you gauge it by is, does it connect with me? So if, I don't know how to say it. Let me think of something. If someone comes up and prophesies into your life and says, you're called to be a firefighter, and this, that, and the other thing, you're sitting there, firefighter? Never thought of that in my life. I have no desire to be a firefighter. What are you supposed to do with that? Or maybe he says, you're supposed to be an apostle, and you're a pastor. You love to be a pastor. What do you do with that stuff? What you do with it is you take it and you put it on the shelf. Okay, if I'm a pastor and he called me out as an apostle, I might be an apostle someday. That's a possibility. But right now, I'm a pastor. If he calls you out as a firefighter, well, I don't have a desire for that. I don't connect with that. I'm not going to worry about it. I put that on the shelf. If that's where God wants me to be someday, sure, awesome. But I don't care. But if he calls you out as a teacher and you love to teach and you're passionate about it and you just, wow, this is just who you want to be, it connects with your spirit. He says it and you're just like, yeah. That's what I am. That makes sense. That's who I am. Take it as confirmation. Take what people say as confirmation. A prophetic word is to be a confirmation. It's supposed to connect with who you already are, with what God is already saying about you. And so a lot of these people who receive prophetic words and they jump into this whole new realm, what's already happening is that whole new realm is being laid in place. And they're feeling God calling them to go there. They want to go there. They don't know how to go there. And this prophetic man comes along. He speaks. This is where you're supposed to go. It just, wow. Yes, that's exactly what God's saying. Bang. It's the confirmation they need to step into what God is giving them. It is not, taking a word is not just, oh, he spoke, it's the word of God. I guess that's who I am. Guess that's what I'm supposed to be. No, it is supposed to be tried. There's a scripture that says, prophet is subject to the prophet. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. And I believe that what that means is, when someone speaks a word into your life, you can go to, it should connect with everyone. It should connect with others. I shouldn't say other ones. It should connect with other people. It just one man gives you a word, and that's the only person that says it. Nobody else agrees with it, and you're not even sure you agree with it. Don't jump all over that. So we tend to look at prophets or prophetic people who give a word, and as soon as they give you a word and it's wrong, we're like, oh, well, they're a false prophet. Not necessarily. They may have interpreted it wrong. They may have spoke out of their experience. So if a if a prophetic person is someone who has been a lone ranger all of his life, and he's walked his life by himself, he's going to give a prophetic word and call people out as an apostle or a prophet or whatever, and he's going to see them and speak it out as you're going to be walking this lonely journey of a lone ranger. But if my belief on that is, you're not a lone ranger, and you're called to work as a team. You're called to work in a unit. And so we got to not speak out of our experience. And when people are speaking out of their experience, we got to be able to pick up on that. Oh, sounds to me like he's got some experience in there. Sounds to me like he has some pain in there. So there's another guy I know. He's a prophet. And his wife was really, really, really strong. Dare I say the word Jezebel? Controlling, manipulating. And they got divorced. And he's going around. He hates Jezebel with a passion. And he preaches in front of churches. Jezebel. He can pray against Jezebel. He has authority against Jezebel. But guess what? When Jezebel confronts him in person, I'm out of here. Doesn't want to face Jezebel. And so if he sees a Jezebel and he starts prophesying into that person, well, how do you think he's going to speak if he's allowing his past experience to affect him? There's no hope for that person. They're not going to get over it. There was no hope for his wife in his mind. She didn't get over it. They didn't overcome. They had a divorce. He didn't have authority over it. And that's the way we can tend to live life. If this didn't work for us, well, it's not going to work for you. That's not the word of God. That is speaking the word of God out of our experience. You might recognize something, but don't add your piece. And so a lot of people get up front or give a prophetic word, and they give the word, and then they try to say what they think it means. Don't. You don't know what it means. You have no idea what it means. There was this guy, Randy Clark, was given an activation for prophetic words, and he said, okay, so I want you to give your prophetic words. And this one lady's like, this is really stupid, but all I get is water bottle. Water bottle? He said, what a random word for a prophetic word. He's like, does that word mean anything to anybody here? And there was this lady who had this disease, and all she, that something to do with her saliva, and she had to drink and she had to spit a lot, and she carried a water bottle with her all her life, everywhere she went. She carried a water bottle because of this disease. And she's like, yes, that's me. And she got healed on the spot. So if she would have said, okay, I'm getting the word water bottle, and she'd have tried to explain what she could come up with on the word water bottle, God is trying to feed his people with a water bottle. It would have been totally, most likely, off the wall wrong. She just gave the word, this weird-sounding word, water bottle, which usually it wouldn't be the right word in church, and somebody was healed. So that is a temptation. We're trying to say something, even if we're not even thinking of it as prophetic. We're trying to say something. We got this word, and then we try to add on what we think it means. Forget it. Stop. If the person is there, it's for, they will get it. They will know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, so when a word is delivered, prophetic word is delivered, does it feel good and fresh and alive, or does it have an icky feeling to it? Be aware of that. Be aware of what you're sensing. So someone speaks something in your life, and it just, ooh, man, it sounds right, but it's weird. It just, ugh. Be aware of that. Don't let that go. Because something in your spirit is giving you a check saying, I don't like that. And so there are, literally, the spirit of Jezebel is one of the biggest oppositions against prophecy. So Jezebel can prophesy very accurately. And I'm saying Jezebel, this is a guy or a lady, can prophesy very accurately to the T, but it's not going to feel right. It will not feel right. And so in that case, what are you going to look for? You have two things to look for. You can look at their fruit. How's that guy living his life? Is he real? Or is he a fake? You can soon figure it out. And the other thing is, what is the witness in your spirit? This word sounds right, but for some reason I don't like it. It just feels awful. Okay. Here is a prophetic words that most people won't give and they shouldn't give. So if you receive prophetic words, I forget who I was talking to. I forget who it was, but he had spoken over a group, and after he spoke, then the group said, "We want to prophesy into you." And so they gathered around him and began to speak. He's going to travel the world, and he's going to speak into kings' lives, and he's going to live in palaces and all kinds of glorious words. And he's just like, forget it. Thank you for trying to be nice, but that don't feel like a prophetic word to me, and I'm not too concerned about it. So people come around, and they'll try to speak glorious things into your life, and it's all where all you're going to go and what all you're going to do. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to happen. They might just be trying to say a nice word to you, and it's not prophecy. So okay, let me see if I have anything else. Okay, so this is one thing I wanted to say. In the fivefold ministry, you have each person has their gift. Now, the gift of a pastor, I'm discovering everyone has to learn that and walk that out. If you want to walk as an apostle, if you want to walk as, if you believe you're called to walk as an apostle or a prophet or a teacher or evangelist, you still need to care for people and love people. If you haven't learned how to pastor people's hearts, you're not apt to be as powerful or a ministry to go as long. And so at the Healing Center, I come there, and I'm working with people every day, and one of the things they're telling me is that you are supposed to pastor these people. I want you to pastor these people. I want you to care for them. I want you to love them. I want you to listen to them. I want you to be aware of what's going on in their heart and give that all you got. And every once in a while, they'll open up, they'll be wide open to receive, and then, this is the word Steve Lapp used, I want you to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You see an opening, and the timing is right, go boom, hit it, back out and be as harmless as a dove again. Does that make sense? Lee Iacocca is one of my dad's favorite, love to read about Lee Iacocca. He was one of the big wigs in Ford dealership. And when he went to hire people, he wasn't all that concerned about how good they were, what they were doing. Yeah, he was interested. But what he wanted to know, he said, I want to know how well you can relate to people. Because we're not working with monkeys, we're not working with animals, we're working with people. And if you can communicate and you can talk to these people and get along with them, that's a huge step right there. We can work with the rest of the stuff. But if you can't get along with people, forget it. We're not interested, period. And that was largely how he hired people. And he did all kinds of stuff with Ford. And then he went to Dodge. Or vice versa, whatever it was. But he was concerned about people skills. And it's the same way in ministry. If you can't relate to people, and you're so caught up in whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, it's going to really affect what God has called you to do. And so many people, even in the fivefold ministry, are called to walk as a pastor before they're even called to walk in the next gifting that God might call them onto. Many people start out as pastors. That's who God has called them to be. They walk that. They're faithful. And some people will stay there, and some people God will call on to be something different. But I have learned to discover the importance of learning how to pastor. It is basically a prerequisite to anything else. So another thing is just to remember is that a prophetic word is to bring honor to God, not the person. So if a prophetic person stands up here and says, I see this, you're lying and all of this stuff, and God is saying you need to repent. Wow, that person knows he's lying. Or he can say, I sense God is saying that there's an area in your life that is not right with him, and he's asking you to get right with him. He didn't expose what it is. He didn't embarrass that person. He didn't make himself look good. But that person knows exactly what he's talking about. Exactly what he's talking about. So I want to close with that. On our way here, we're driving and Joshua's in the back seat. Turn around, look at us. And I said, Joshua, in 3 more months, we're going to turn you around. You're going to be able to see the world. And it just hit me. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. And some of us, where we're at, we're still going backwards, watching the world as it goes by. After a while, we get turned around. We can see the world. Hallelujah. Wow, this is awesome. After a while, we get the driver's seat. Whoa. But we don't always have the driver's seat. It's a journey of going and filling where you're called to be, living and enjoying it. And that's my word to you, is simply enjoy the journey, embrace where you're at, give it all you got, and have a blast. God bless you.
Thank you, Galen, for those words.
Excuse me.
And that teaching, and just in the journey that we're at as a church, but you as an individual as well, where you're at, the gifts that you have, to use them and not to hide them, not to cover them up, but to use them for God's glory. And so I want to bless you for listening. And just as an individual, the journey that you're on in your life, in pursuing God and following after God, that you would do it with excitement. I know Galen just ended with that a little bit, at least a thought, that when you're doing something that you know God wants you to do it with passion, do it with excitement, do it with, you know, go for it. And because the vibe that you carry can make a big difference if you're really excited about something or not. And unfortunately, we do see a lot of Christians that call themselves Christians and say, I'm living for God, but yet it doesn't seem that they have life while they're living, if you know what I mean. So I want to just throw this out to you. Live while you have life, okay? While you're living, live for the glory of God. So bless you, each one of you, for being here. We're going to do the lift the offering. The offering this morning is for our building fund. So if you want to get ready for that. And are there any other announcements for this week that I'm missing? Okay, let's have a word of prayer for the offering. The offering this morning is for our building fund. So, Father in heaven, Father, I want to thank you this morning, again, that you're our God, and you care so much about each one of us. Father, you know how many hairs are on our head this morning. That's how much you care for us. And so, Father, I want to thank you for your love and your mercy, and for each person that's here. And Lord, as we're on our journey of just of seeking you, we want to live our lives for your glory. We don't want to live wasted lives. And so, Father, I pray that you would correct us where we need correction. You would instruct us where we need instruction. And you would teach us where we need teaching. And you would give us the courage to live our lives completely for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for this building. And Father, the blessing it is to be here in a building that you provided. And so I ask a blessing on the gift this morning as we give for the building fund. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, Will and Daniel, for that. I think we're just going to keep going. Dave, we're going to get into our Sunday school class prayer time. So Dave, I'll just turn it over to you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our prayer and sharing time. We have a couple different classes of for the adults and for the children. For the adults, we have a ladies' class just down the hall to the left next to the kitchen. And we have two men's classes, one out the door to the right and one out the door to the left. And also, I guess we have a youth class today. Marcus, do you know? We have a youth class. The youth class is basically straight across the hall. You go out the door, go straight across. Also, we don't have chairs in the classroom, so just grab your chairs on the way out. I think at this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss the youth. The youth can go ahead and we'll go out to the classrooms, grab your chairs on the way out so that you have chairs there. So, whoever's leading the youth there, go ahead. Marcus, are you leading the youth group? He left, I think. Okay, so you want to show them where it's at? All right. Yeah, go ahead for the youth. Go ahead, you're dismissed. Go ahead, grab your chairs, fold them up on the way out.